Well, again, welcome everybody to Riverside, and a very big Merry Christmas to all of you. So good to join together here on Christmas Eve and just celebrate Jesus. Obviously, it's a cliche, but it is true every time I say Jesus is the reason for the season, gives us a reason to come and rejoice. And so just a delight to just fellowship and worship Jesus together on this special day. I hope you guys have just a wonderful Christmas and New Year's with your family and friends, and just continue to keep Jesus the center of it all. I want to take a bit of time and just look today into God's Word and just kind of remind ourselves again of why we celebrate, what we have to be thankful for. Of course, you guys know already, this is sometimes difficult for a pastor. Every Christmas, it's like, okay, Christmas message. There's only so much material to kind of cover before you are just rehashing through it all the time, of course, as you know. And so we're always trusting the Lord just to kind of give us something, you know, fresh to share. Now, we, of course, receive our Christmas narrative from two of the Gospels. Only two of the Gospels really focuses in on it. Matthew and Luke's Gospel really just kind of highlight the whole scene around the birth of Jesus. Matthew records the account of the angel coming and speaking to Joseph in that dream to reveal to him that Mary was with child and that this child was conceived of the Holy Spirit. So Joseph, you know, don't freak out, all right? This isn't on you here. This isn't something that's, what did my fiance just do here? What's going on? No, this is conceived of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, just calm down. And then Matthew records, of course, the other events happen after the birth of Jesus with the Magi, the wise men, coming and visiting Jesus after his birth. Luke's Gospel then gives us a much more detailed account of the events that were leading up to the birth of Jesus, and then the scene at his birth. Of course, we read there of the revelation that's given by Gabriel, the angel, to Mary, that she would give birth to Jesus, the Savior. And then Luke records her coming and meeting with her relative Elizabeth, who's also pregnant, just very miraculously as well. And there's Elizabeth with her child, John, you know, who'd be John the Baptist, leaping for joy in her womb as Mary comes in with this special child that she's carrying as well. And they're rejoicing just over the favor that they both received. Then Luke records, of course, how Mary and Joseph ended up in Bethlehem. That was, again, all foreordained and led of the Lord. And how they end up in Bethlehem, where they end up giving birth in just a very simple, humble grounds in a place that was designed for animals. And there's Jesus being placed in a manger, the feeding trough for animals. And so Luke, of course, records all of that, records the angels giving this great announcement to the shepherds, and then hearing the account and the testimony of two elderly people that have been waiting for this promise of the Lord, and Simeon and Anna, and how they're rejoicing that they've seen this child born. They've been expecting, they've been waiting for this promise of God to unfold, and they're rejoicing to see the fruition of this. Well, these two Gospels, like I said, are really the only two places that you get all of this detailed account that I just sort of quickly highlighted for you. So the message is done today. Let's just get to the eggnog now. No, okay. We quickly, yes. Woo, they got one woo in the back there. All right. Hey, there is going to be, I don't know if it was mentioned, but, you know, we're not having Calvary Connect in between services over there, but we are going to have some goodies just on the foyer after the service, after the second service. So hang tight. Won't be long. But now, those two Gospels highlight this Christmas narrative account there, but I want to turn elsewhere this morning. I want to jump over to John's Gospel. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to John chapter 1, because here we get a bit of a different perspective. We kind of see the arrival of Jesus in a bit of a different light now in John's Gospel. So John chapter 1, and this, of course, takes us right to the beginning. Not the beginning of Jesus being born, because as you know, Bethlehem is not the starting point for Jesus. All right, can I get an amen from everybody? You're all with me, right? Sometimes people think, oh, Jesus appeared or, you know, kind of came on the scene only there at Bethlehem. That's when he came, clothed in the flesh. But understand, Jesus always was. He is existent from times past, eternal. And so John now takes us right to the very beginning here. Look at what we read in John chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to read the first 13 verses here together and see this Christmas story in a bit of a different light here, hopefully, today. It says, John 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." Verse 9. "That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but were born of God." All right? So here now gives us this kind of fresh account, a different account of Jesus coming on to the scene here for us. Now, there's some interesting things to look at here, just to dissect before I kind of focus on the main part of what I want to focus on here today. First of all, notice in verse 3, what does it say? That all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. That's a pretty big statement, isn't it? Everything that we see around us, everything that we are, was made by Jesus, right? That kind of boggles my mind to think that Jesus came to the stable, the manger that he was laid in, the hay most likely that was filling it. All of that was there because Jesus made that. Everything that he came to that which he had created, to that which he had made. Every person that he came to. Think about Joseph and Mary, right? His own earthly parents, they're there because of him, right? Think about that statement we like to give as parents. "I brought you into this world and I can take you out." Well, Jesus is saying to his parents, hold on there. Let's flip that around. "I brought you into this world." And, well, you know the rest. I'm sure he didn't use that line on them. He could have if he wanted to. But everything that he came to that which was his. He had made it. Nobody could take any credit for Jesus coming onto the scene because everyone was simply there because of him. Secondly, we see in verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." See, the world at this time was walking in darkness. Walking in darkness in the sense that this was a difficult period for them. We'll get to that in a second here. But notice what Zacharias, he sang out in of Jesus in Luke chapter 1, verse 79, Zacharias being John the Baptist's father. So again, a relative of Jesus. Here's what he says: "To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." This is what he's proclaiming about Jesus, that he's come to guide us, to shine light into the darkness, to give light to those who are walking in darkness. When the angel came to the shepherds, remember that scene? It was when? At night. I think it was a very fitting picture of the situation, the circumstance of the world at that time. They were sitting in darkness. And here the angels, they break through in the darkness and they reveal to the shepherds. And what do they say in Luke 2 verse 9? "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid." I just think about the light that was just piercing through in the darkness. Just a glimpse of what was going to come through Jesus. But the light and the glory of the Lord shone around them. That would have been something to behold. Do you ever wish for an experience like that? Just an angel to come and just see this glory of the Lord around them? Some of you think that would be cool. Some of you, you know, would be hiding under your blankets at night if an angel all of a sudden popped up in your room, right? Think about that. Man, that would be kind of freaky. I hope that we just be the peace of the Lord and just be like, wow, this is amazing. But think about these shepherds, and they were greatly afraid. They're like, what in the world is going on here? So John continues to share about this forerunner, John the Baptist, in John chapter 1, and how he came to be a witness. John records these for us, not John the Baptist, but John the Apostle. He records about John the Baptist being this forerunner for Jesus. And John clarifies here, the writer clarifies, that John the Baptist was not the light, But rather Jesus, it says, was the true light in verse 9, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Catch this. Jesus didn't come just to do a work for those living at that time. Didn't come to do a work just for those who were good. He came to shine light for every man that was in the world and that was coming into the world. We're beneficiaries of that. And so we have an eternal Savior who came into a dark world to reveal this light of God, to do this work for a world and a people that he had made. But notice what we read in verse 7. But his own did not receive him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. I want to camp out on this a little bit here this morning. The greatest gift ever, and it tells us here that people refused it. How could that be? Why would anyone refuse a gift? Maybe you've been there before. Christmas time, I'm sure a lot of people are exchanging gifts. Maybe there's been a gift that you've been given that has been hard for you to receive. Maybe you're sitting here going, I don't know what you're talking about. I have no problem receiving gifts. But it can be hard. There are times where it can be difficult to receive a gift with joy. Why does that happen? Well, I want to propose a few reasons perhaps that this might happen. First of all, perhaps we feel we don't need it. We don't need it. Maybe some of you moms or wives have been given a cookbook in previous Christmases. Maybe some of you dads or husbands, men, have been given exercise videos. Maybe you've been given a registration for a marriage conference. And you're sitting here going, wait a second, I don't need this. I'm good. I don't need a cookbook. I don't need an exercise video. I'm already fine. Come on, look at me. I don't need this stuff. What are you trying to say here? And we can quickly, with certain gifts, go, I don't need this. And that becomes nothing more than pride oftentimes. Feeling like, no, we're already okay. We don't need this. This isn't for me. And it can be that way with a lot of people when it comes to Jesus. I think the biggest thing that can block people from receiving Jesus is that pride, that feeling like, I don't need help. I don't need a Savior. I'm doing just fine on my own. And it's our own pride that stops us from receiving what Jesus has come to give and do for us. Another part of that is that people feel like they already have all that they need. We can easily fill our lives with so many things that we feel that this is just another unnecessary accessory. It's like getting another tie, you know, for Christmas, or, you know, something that you just don't need. I remember when I was in school and when I was a kid, and when we make little art projects, oftentimes we make, you know, art projects out of clay, right? It seemed like every clay project we made turned out to be an ashtray, right? And so it's like, hey, Merry Christmas, Mom and Dad. Got another ashtray for you. It's like, my parents never smoked. It's like, hey, this is great. Thank you. But what am I going to do with this? You know, got a stack of ashtrays in the corner, you know. And so it's like, we can receive things oftentimes that we feel like, I don't know if there's any need for this here. Sadly, people feel that way about Jesus because they fill their lives with many other passions, many other pursuits in life. Maybe they've got different idols in their life that they're gung-ho about, and they think that Jesus is just going to disrupt all of that. I don't need this. I'm already good. I've got everything I need, you see. This brings us to our next point. First of all, that we don't feel we need that gift. Secondly, oftentimes we don't appreciate the value of that gift, or we don't understand the gift. We don't appreciate the value of it, or we don't understand what that gift is. It's like, you know, giving an iPad to a person who's maybe well advanced in years, right? You know, it's like they look at this thing, what is this? One of those Etch-a-Sketch thingies? That shit, you know, say, no, don't shake that up. It's okay. It's not what that's for, you know? And you're trying to explain, have you ever tried to explain technology, you know, to an older person? Those of you well advanced in years, no offense, you're okay, but you can all relate, I'm sure. Trying to explain technology to somebody. It's like, you give something so wonderful, you know, an iPad. This is incredible. And they get, it's like, well, what do I do? Can this tell me the time? You know, it's like, yes, it can, yes, it'll tell you the time and so much more, you know? You're just scratching the surface here, but sometimes people do not understand really what that gift can be all about for them. And it's that way with Jesus oftentimes. They don't understand, first of all, why they need Jesus, what he's come to do. You know, Joseph, I'm sure Mary's husband, didn't understand the incredible gift that Mary was carrying. She's found out to be pregnant, and Joseph is looking to figure out, what am I going to do? Obviously, this means that we can't be together. She's with a child, and it's not mine. What are we going to do? And he was thinking of how he can put her away, basically divorce her, without giving a public disgrace here, okay? He's trying not to embarrass her, but he's realizing, I got to do something. He didn't understand what was going on until the angel comes and reveals to him, hey, Joseph, this child is conceived of the Holy Spirit, and guess what? You're going to call him Jesus, meaning Jehovah is salvation. God is salvation, because the angel says he will take away the sins of his people. Suddenly, Joseph understands what this gift truly is. He understands the value of it. He understands what this is all about. Oftentimes, people refuse that gift of salvation because they don't understand who Jesus is, what that gift is all about, the value that Jesus has brought to their life, and why they need him. And people refuse sometimes. Thirdly, why don't we receive gifts? Why don't we receive what Jesus has done for us? Sometimes because we feel we don't deserve it. It's hard to receive something free. We oftentimes gravitate. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time with that. Somebody comes up and they just want to, you know, give me something. I have a hard time just, come on, I don't, you know, or going out for dinner or lunch and somebody wants to pay. It's like, no, you don't have to do that. No, please let me. No, I can't let you do that. We have a hard time sometimes receiving things. We feel like we need to pay it back. We got to owe them now, or it's just hard to receive grace sometimes. And that's exactly what Jesus has come to do for us, to save us by his grace. As we're going to see as we continue on in a minute here, he's come to give us a gift that he's not requiring anything for us to do. The book of Galatians that we just finished doing here at church on Sunday mornings has been revealing that to us, because as Paul is showing in that book, there are oftentimes people that want to go back to try to do works, to try to earn their way. And yet the whole point of Galatians is that Jesus has set us free from all those things, that by his grace we are saved. That's a product of our faith in him. And Paul's been saying, don't go back to those former things. Don't go back to trying to earn your way, because that defeats them, what Jesus has done. Jesus came to this world to clothe himself in humanity, to identify with us so that he could go to the cross and pay the price and the penalty for our sins. He says, you can't do that. I'm going to do it for you. And it's a free gift. It's by grace. And we have a hard time accepting that sometimes. But there's no other way. Jesus wants you to come to a place to say, you can't do anything about this. Again, it's kind of knocking down our pride. You can't earn your way. You can't make things right on your own. You need Jesus. And in his infinite, wonderful grace and mercy, he's done the work for us. He's provided a free gift of salvation to those that believe. Notice what it says there in verse 12 and 13. Please look at that. John 1, verse 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And that word believe is tied into just believing that Jesus has done the work to forgive you, to pay the penalty for your sin, to bring cleansing and forgiveness and reconciliation to the Father. That's what Jesus has come to do. Let's finish off with verse 14. So, like I said, we've seen three things here, primarily why people have a hard time receiving this great gift. We feel we don't need it. We don't appreciate the value of the gift or understand it. And thirdly, we feel we don't deserve it. But Jesus has come to give us this incredible gift. Look at what it says in verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. to be described as or referred to as the Word, it's a very interesting title because that's what John uses in this first part of chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word here, verse 14, became flesh. See, Word speaks of a unit of speech, right? But John, of course, is speaking about a person. He's speaking of Jesus here. And that's so amazing because this period of time, 2,000 years ago, the world was experiencing silence from God, essentially. There's no word being spoken by God. In a sense, there's no word coming through a prophetic voice, God speaking through his prophets, or God speaking through recorded scripture. God wasn't speaking. There was silence for 400 years up until the time of Jesus' birth. People were, as we said, sitting in darkness. It was a trying, difficult time. They thought, where's God in all of this? When would he reveal himself? When would he speak? And here, at the advent of Jesus, God breaks through. And the silence is broken once and for all. Here, the Word of God became flesh. God has never expressed himself better than sending Jesus into the world to perfectly reveal to us what God is like and reveal to us his heart for mankind, his desire to save them. Jesus had to leave the glories of heaven and clothe himself in humanity. Think about the sacrifice made. We think about the sacrifice made at the cross, and that was, but just the sacrifice to come to this broken world and clothe himself in humanity, to experience the things that we experience so that he could be that complete and full substitute or sacrifice for us. So he came to dwell among us, to tabernacle with us. We've been seeing in 1 Chronicles on our Wednesday night series that David desired to build a house for God. And as his son Solomon completes the project, we hear him say so wisely in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. And now, O Lord God of Israel, let your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant David. But will God indeed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you, how much less this temple which I have built. What does Solomon say there? Can God indeed dwell with men on the earth? Yet in all of Solomon's wisdom, he didn't comprehend this gift that was coming. Because to answer what Solomon is asking, God would indeed send his son to come and indeed dwell with us. This question that Solomon asked has been answered in the advent of Jesus, that God will indeed dwell among men, and he does so in the person of Jesus Christ. And he would provide a way of salvation for us that would reconcile us to him, to bring us into a right relationship with him, that we might continue to dwell with God. He's brought us into relationship with him through our faith in Jesus. To those that have put their trust, their faith, that have believed in him, as John tells us here, to those that believe in him, he's given the right to become children of God. What does that mean? Family. We're in relationship with God now. Not just now to enjoy the blessings and the benefits of it, but for all of eternity, we have hope. We have security. We have comfort and peace. That's been afforded to you through Jesus Christ, who came and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is indeed the best gift of all. And I pray that every one of us here have received that gift, that we haven't made excuses, that we haven't put it off, that we haven't said, no, I don't deserve that, or no, I don't need it, I'm okay. I pray and trust that we've all received this gift, that we've brought Jesus in to not just be a part of our life, but to be our life, that we might walk as children of God and enjoy this incredible relationship and enjoy this incredible gift. Let's remember that all through the year, not just at Christmas time, but all through the year, to reflect on, remember what Jesus has done for us. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that can all change in an instant. There's no hoops to jump through. There's no club or church to join. It is simply you recognizing, I'm a sinner. I've been walking in darkness. And Jesus came to change all that. Jesus came to shine light into my situation, and not just to shine light into my situation, but to provide salvation for me. That comes through recognizing my need for him and my receiving Jesus as my Savior. All you need to do is put your trust in him as your Savior and not in yourself, not in any other thing. It's not in a religious work or activity. It's in a person. It's in Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you call out to him today? Would you say, Jesus, I need you. I want you. I want to know that I can have peace and hope and everlasting life, because that's what he's brought you. Free of charge. Receive him today. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this word. Thank you for this time of year that we remember and reflect on why you came and what you've come to do. And thank you, Lord, for this incredible gift that you brought us, this gift of salvation, this gift of life. We are blessed. And I pray that we wouldn't make excuses of why we don't deserve it, why we don't need it. Help us to understand who you are and what you've done for us. Let this gift continue to increase in value to us. And for those that don't know you, Lord, I pray that you would just lead them to you. Lead them to their need for you. Help them to see that you love them, that you came to this world for them, to give them life. And may they respond to you and receive you and receive your salvation today. Lord, I pray that you would just guide us through this Christmas season, and may you be just completely the center of it all. Every celebration, every action, Lord, may you just be the center of it all. You are deserving, you're worthy, and we just glorify your name here today. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. I'll play a short video for you here. And as we do, we're going to have some kids come and prepare for a special song.